This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Steven, please edit that.
Hey, it's the 100th episode
of My Favorite Murder.
The podcast.
Remember the podcast you've listened to 99.08 times?
Holy crap.
I'm pouring
myself and Steven a glass of this beautiful rosé champagne that today Vince and I were walking by this wine store and I was like, oh, let me go and get a bottle for the 100th episode. And I'm looking through this thing and this cute girl with blue hair is like, I love the podcast. And I'm like, oh my God, thank you. And then the chick behind the counter who owns the place is like, I love it too. And they both started like talking to me about it and it was really sweet. And so I just wanted to say thank you to Eno Vino, to Suzanne at Eno Vino, and Jen Spain Photography.
Well, exciting. I have a cup of tea. I have a cup of tea, and we have a cake from Carvel.
That's right.
Steven went and picked it up at the one Los Angeles location that's been there for a long time.
Yeah, they've been there for a while, and they were very sweet. And
yeah, they've been after
got
us
an ice cream cake
to give it to us. Yeah,
amazing.
So fucking cool.
I mean, I don't even remember having the conversation about talking about how we were going to have this cake on this day.
I don't remember talking about 99 episodes worth of things.
And so
yet,
true.
Here we are,
and yet we're just going to keep on talking.
Yeah,
bloody blah. Let's first. We have presents from Steven.
Yeah.
Let's just describe these because we walked upstairs into the beautiful podcast loft, and on the podcast coffee table there are two what I refer to as hat boxes.
Gorgeous red, like gilded hat boxes.
Spoilers. Just
okay.
Kidding.
Oh. Okay. Oh, they're hats. No, they're not. Oh my God, this is beautiful. It is.
Ooh. Uh-oh.
What are these?
Are these head mics?
Are these microphones? Or they're like, are these like Janet Jackson mics?
Yeah.
Steven!
Oh my God.
Steven got us head mics.
Is this? This is what having 100 podcasts is like. Holy shit, Steven.
We're going to record like gamers do when they record themselves for YouTube.
It's totally true.
When you can do all your dance moves and everything.
Yes. Oh, Steven.
You can move your body the way you've always wanted to, Karen, when we're recording.
I've wanted one of these my whole life.
Shut up.
I've just never had a reason for it.
I love it.
Steven.
Steven, thank you. We didn't get you anything yet. We're going to.
No, I'm so glad you like them.
Thank you.
Just like, they're just so fun.
They're and beautiful.
Like, just watching Janet Jackson is just like, yeah. Do it.
Oh, we're going to be on the next level. Can we plug them in now?
That might take a while.
Okay, can we just put them on though?
Just wear them.
Okay, cool. They kind of look like retain. What are the retainers that people
headgear?
They look like headgear if you need a visual, and it's totally like what someone would wear like in Top Gun or something like that. Have like they've got like foam. It's just really intense.
I feel like I get very. It's not that often that someone gives me the perfect gift because I don't talk about what I like that mm-hmm. much. I only talk about and focus on what I hate. and this is just such a fucking hilarious, this is such perfect. A perfect gift. It's such a lovely,
it's so perfect for
such a lovely gesture
for us, for this occasion. Everything about it. Thank
I've never
you.
Been happier in my life.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's just, yeah, it's
you're
just
blushing.
A special day.
Thank you. So,
thank you know what
you
it is?
So much.
He's forced to listen to us.
Uh-huh.
So he has to pay attention to what we say.
He doesn't want the mic to keep bumping against my teeth anymore like it always does. The foam on teeth is real gross to begin with.
How is the background noise of just gift yeah. wrap paper constantly being touched?
I mean, that's a new ASMR thing, so.
Oh, yeah. Karen, oh. I think that you're just going to start wearing this always.
I think you're exactly
like,
right.
Like, to sleep, and when you're in the car and you're on the phone.
I have to say, I have a lot of the same feelings that I had when I was, I think I've told you the story, when I was like 4 or 5, and my Aunt Jean gave my sister a pair of red cowboy yes. boots for her birthday, and the second I saw her open the box, I screamed, grabbed them, put them on, and would not take them off. And I wore them for like 3 years. And this, I have very much the same feeling with
Can
this.
Can I say, so you and I had blah, 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 said like, we'll get each other presents for the 100th yeah. episode. So that looks great on you.
Does it?
Oh my God. You look like you work at a call center.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You look like, you
like
know.
Ann Rule in the 70s yes. with Ted Bundy.
You look like you work next to Ted Bundy.
I'm trying to help people, but I'm also making friends with one of the most legendary serial killers of all time.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, what do I get Karen? And I've been stressing about it for like a week. Spoiler alert, I got you nothing, which is totally my style. I stress and stress. Don't do anything about it.
You froze.
So I had, but I had good ideas. And actually, initially, those red cowboy boots you talked about, I was going to get a cake made that were red cowboy boots.
Oh my God.
No, I didn't do it though.
No, but that doesn't matter. That's an amazing idea.
I have a yes. couple. I had a couple, so I want points for them, even though
you
I didn't do it.
You get 50 points for red cowboy boot cake.
I have a great amazing. Imagination and crippling anxiety that doesn't let me do anything about it.
It's that follow through, but I am an honest believer and it's the thought that counts.
I am too.
I really am.
I am too. Okay, great. So that was going to be one. Then I was thinking I'd either go get a tattoo or have a tattoo artist come here for us and give us SSDGM tattoos while we were recording, but I couldn't remember if you wanted one or not.
Don't.
Okay. Well, then I would have gotten one.
I mean, I love the idea of it.
Yeah.
But
I want to get
it's
one.
It's just
someday.
Not me. Yeah. I have a tattoo yeah. that I shouldn't have gotten right. in the first place, and in getting it, realized yeah. I'm not a tattoo person.
I get that. So that was another idea. And then, oh, and then I was just going to wrap, I was going to gift wrap really well, a beautiful, like Christmassy gift wrapping, gorgeous, just a pan of cheesy potatoes.
Like my lady from Unhealthy Obsessions or whatever that TLC show is.
Oh, yeah. Because you love cheesy potatoes.
Cheesy potatoes.
And we eat them backstage a lot.
Yeah.
So I was going to do that.
Some version
too.
Of potato and cheese or pasta and cheese.
Right. Maybe
or
mac and cheese. I make a good mac and cheese. Maybe that.
Green so things make us cry.
Someday.
Cheesy potatoes.
Yeah.
Save our life. Well, here's thank you for all those thoughts and for stressing about it. That's even more of a gift of like true anxiety over it. Mm-hmm. Means a lot. I came up with the idea, and when you said, oh, really? Like, and then I was like, yes, and then immediately forgot and haven't thought about it since I walked in the door, and you were like, I didn't get you anything, and oh. I was like, okay.
You're like, oh, why would you, don't ever get me anything, and I'm like, but we both said, but I immediately was like, oh, thank God, she forgot to, or she, like, didn't do it either.
It's just so classic me that it would be, like, my bossy idea,
yeah.
and then I'm just like, I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway.
Well, good thing I didn't follow through, right?
Yes.
You have no memory of it, and I have no follow through, and together, that's 100 episodes, man.
Dude, it was a match made in heaven for yeah, real.
It really was.
Because it's like, it's a friend of mine the other day, I forgot we had made dinner plans, and then she texted me, I was like, now, like, I had to move one night on her. Then she texted and she was like, now I have to move a night. And I was like, yay. Like, it's never bad news to me
yeah.
when you flake, cancel.
Oh God, I love it.
Or I just never hear from you again. It's always a relief to me.
If you see me out at night, I really like you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like you already think I'm a flake, and I've used up all my flakingness on you.
Yes, you're scared.
Yeah. There are a couple of friends that are like, oh, you're actually here. But then they're always like, but you always make me come to your side of town. When I'm like, where should we go? I'm like, down the street.
It's so great over here. Well, but here's the thing. And this is how it is sometimes. You got a cop. If you live in an area where it's just not that cool.
Yeah.
Like you can go out. This is the thing. You have to like master plan. You have to think of everybody in the plan, because there are people who are like, oh, I'm married and I have a kid. So if we go to dinner, I don't give a shit where we go, mm-hmm. because it's all the same to me.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're like a single lady trying mm-hmm. to maximize your time because you finally left the house mm-hmm. after 2 weeks, you don't want to go to fucking the grandma restaurant at 6 p.m.
But you also don't want to go to like when your friends like, when you're single and your friends like, just come over and I'll make dinner. Like, no I want the possibility of seeing a hot guy at a bar.
Don't waste my time in front of your TV.
No, I 100% get that.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like if I'm going to make the monstrous effort
oh, yeah.
of putting clothes on this body and rolling on outside, mm-hmm. we've got to actually do something that's like yeah. worth the while.
Plus, there's no way your fucking whatever salad you throw together is going to be good as like a cheese plate from the fucking nice restaurant.
Yes.
And let's spend some money. Come on.
Come on. Let's do it. Who
it's
cares?
It's Christmas time.
And did you hear about the asteroid that came within 3 miles of the Earth?
No, I love that, though.
I mean, guys, we're on a clock. Let's oh my God. Maximize this fun,
sure.
please, this Christmas season.
I went to my Hanukkah party over the weekend, which was super fun. And all my young, sweet cousins listened to the podcast.
No, how
and,
young?
Like, well, they're like in their, they're like just out of college. Oh. So they're all cool. Except Savannah, Jillian, hi ladies.
Hi.
They're just like sweet little angels. And then, and I love them.
It's so very cool. Yeah, yeah. I had family too who were like, it's people that you don't expect. I was the young, like 20-year-olds that I know or yeah. that like Lauren and Connor and Johnny know are my family.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always like, they don't care about anything from my era. Right. Like, why would they?
Right. We're boring old people.
We're boring old people. They're all making their own homemade porn. It's like the way we live is so different that mm-hmm. it's like, we might as well be from different sides of the planet.
Sure.
So good. God bless. Go do your thing.
Yeah.
So when they come and they're like, oh my God, all my friends like you. It's like, what? It honestly feels like a ghost has walked through the wall and been like, oh my God, we like you on
it's
our
like
side.
It's like validating you suddenly. Yes. It's like, oh my God, I'm not.
It's validating you from people that you're like, I had to dismiss your group because it's sad when old people want young people to think they're cool.
But podcasts, there's something about them. It's all old people.
It's mind control.
Mm-hmm.
It's mind control.
Mm-hmm.
How's my headset look?
It looks still glorious. You look like Judith from HR. And then every time you say something into it, you have to touch the earpiece lightly.
That's right. Because I'm also, I have to be honest, I'm a little bit playing Newscopter 4 pilot. Yes. Like I'm a traffic reporter
Come
right
in,
now.
Karen. We have Karen Kay in the sky.
Guys, I'm looking right down at the I-5 and everything's on fire. Oh, on my way here.
That's the only thing you can say. Yeah. That's like the only time they bring Karen K out is when there's a fire.
In the Southland, uh-huh. it's always on fire. Mm-hmm. Hey, it's 2018 and we're on fire. Sorry, I did a terrible radio voice, but on the exit to come here, uh-huh. there was a slowdown, of course. It was, I went 5 miles an hour the whole time. Mm-hmm. It's so fascinating to talk about LA traffic.
Oh, everyone loves it.
But, when I took the exit, there was like a huge tow truck. And then when we all had to drive by it real slow, it was a Maserati that had rear-ended like a Kia. And it was, ooh. I laughed so hard because a Maserati is, why do you drive that car?
No.
You're just flossing. You're just trying to make people think you're important.
Maserati. Oh, God. And then, our one listener who drives a Maserati right now is like, I fucking knew it. My brother told me it was cool. I fucking knew it.
You know, and I'm taking this fork. We brought forks up here. I'm digging into this Carvel cake.
Eating food on a podcast into a microphone is now ASMR, right?
It's ASMS, ASAP.
Oh my God.
Isn't that so good? Fuck.
Okay, let's fucking Cooking Channel Unique Sweets this for a minute.
Do it.
Can I say?
Yeah. All right. Steven, are you going to eat any of this?
Steven, there's a fork. Fudgy the Whale Cake. I said, grab the cake and three forks.
Mm-hmm.
And you got so excited that I didn't say plates.
Yeah.
Because there's no fucking chance we're cutting this and putting it on plates. What kind of monsters do you think we are?
Yeah.
This isn't fucking tea time with Karen and Georgia or whatever. It's an ice cream cake, but there's like a layer of marshmallow fluff in it. It's crunchy from the like, it's like cookie pieces.
That's what it's like famous for.
Right.
Right.
And it's got the like fudgy frosting and just a little bit of cake. It's not a ton of cake.
There's barely any cake, but there's also a strip of caramel.
Oh my God.
Underneath this fudge frosting. It's
oh
like
my
mouth is watering and I'm eating it at the same time. That's how good it is.
What's really fun about eating a thing. Wait, I should talk.
Mm-hmm.
I should talk in the microphone. Mm-hmm. What's really fun about eating a thing like this like when you become an adult is you get to eat it and make as big a mess as you want.
Yeah. Also, here's what's really funny. I think there's a lot of people on the East Coast that probably think this is hilarious because we're describing a thing that'd be like, oh my God, it's like the peanut butter is right next to the jelly. Where they're like, yeah, everyone's had this. You don't need to describe it.
This is our childhood thing. Nobody cares anymore.
Every single person had this for their birthday party.
Yeah, it's like you
But we didn't.
No. I've never had that in my life.
Mm-mm, me either.
It's the best.
Fuck.
Let's get sugar high.
Mm-hmm.
And party.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's so funny? If we can get into it really quickly. Someone tweeted today at us.
Yes.
And said... Okay, hold on. Stephen, wait, hold on.
They said, please eat a whole cake on the show. And I said, sounds great.
And we did it.
I'd love to.
He said, you know what? That's a great idea.
That's my gift to you is dessert for dinner. My God.
It's so good. I want to cry.
Stephen, don't you love it?
Stephen, keep eating it.
So good.
Keep eating it. Keep eating it while I find this tweet.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Kraft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all made in, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com. Goodbye.
All right. A guy named, his Twitter handle is Manny
Patinkin?
Oh my God, Manny Patinkin. Manny 2189 texts us, added us to Twitter, said, so you guys talked about the staircase death a lot in the start of your podcast days, but you guys never fully got into it, and I still have no idea what it is. And owl question mark. Someone sent us that today.
Really?
Yes.
That's hilarious.
How weird is that?
Because on our first episode, and Steven went back and listened to it, wrote up some nice notes for us.
It's called due diligence.
That's right.
And he did it.
He did his diligence.
He did his duty.
So we didn't have to do no duty.
Exactly.
But we talk about the staircase. We both believed, I think for a while, we believed we had covered it, but it was just conversation, a long conversation. And then the fun reveal that you told me was that then when we decided, okay, for the 100th episode, we're going to cover the staircase together officially.
I just realized I'm like trying to surprise everyone by telling them that we're doing the staircase, but then I just realized they saw it in the description of the podcast episode when they press play, probably.
Yeah.
So it's not a surprise.
Damn it. And you know, at some point you got to reveal the surprise.
What if, Steven, you put in the description, surprise 100th episode case?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay.
Oh my God, they're gonna fucking shit.
Guys, surprise. Holy
shit. But there is a surprise, because then what was your reveal?
Okay, so yesterday, like, not yesterday, last week, this is how professional this podcast is. As Karen and Steven are walking out of my door after we recorded, and we're trying to guess, like, we want to cover a story together, blah, blah, blah. And as we're walking out the door, or you're walking out the door, I'm like, one of us is like, staircase, great, goodbye.
I think it was you.
Okay. And so, credit. Thank you, but I don't need it. I turn on the staircase to watch it and realize I have just been bullshitting it this past couple years when people are like, have you seen the staircase? And I'm like, yeah, because I don't want to be like, no.
Right, of course.
You know.
100%. 100%.
And I kind of convinced myself that I had seen it. But as we're watching episode one, I was like, oh my God, I've never fucking seen this. I've watched the Forensic Files about it and I've read a ton about it, but I've never fucking watched the actual documentary.
It's so funny. Basically, the entire relationship and our story, our yes. origin story, is predicated on the fact that we both talked endlessly about the staircase at Matt's Halloween party.
Yeah.
And all of that's a lie. That's like a misremembered.
But I still knew about it.
No, of course.
But I didn't know. You know what? After watching most of it, I didn't know what I was talking about.
God
Which
bless
just
you.
Goes to show what a fucking glass of whiskey will do.
But you did in that way where this is one of the stories that's been around for so long. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about that where the first couple true crime, like, you know, 48 hours types of shows that mm-hmm. I saw about it presented it in a very clear-cut way.
Yeah. I went back and watched the Forensic Files, which we'll talk about once we get through it, but it's definitely this is the story, and then shit just keeps throughout the years getting added onto it.
Yes.
And it's really crazy, and I do have to say watching the documentary gave me a completely different. So guys, go watch The Staircase. It's like a 10-part documentary.
Yeah.
45 minutes each or something like that.
This is what I love about this case is it's all opinion. I mean, there's just so many potential. I feel like this is the part of true crime where people started to go, oh yeah, the justice system, I should say this, white people mm-hmm. or like not people of color started to go, oh, the justice system could get swayed one way or the other based on what the people in charge think of who they're trying.
Right.
And that I don't think anyone really looked at that much before this case where it's like, now look at it this way. And then you're like, oh my God, they hated him because of this and that.
I mean, this is the original Jinx. This is the original Making a Murderer. Like, if you have feelings about that, you know, you need to watch this. I think this was way before its, you know, time. And I think this also
like 2 years before.
Right. God, it seems so vintage, doesn't it?
Well, the American Justice I watched today was super vintage.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I watched the Forensic. Okay, let's talk about the fucking case. All right.
Let's
get into this.
Are we getting into it?
So this is the death of Kathleen Peterson. Period.
The episode of the American Justice that I watched starring Bill Curtis from 2004 was called Blood on the Staircase.
Okay. Well, the Forensic Files is called A Novel Idea.
Oh,
because he was a writer.
Because
he was a novelist.
It's a novel idea to kill your wife.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Love it. Blood on the Staircase. Okay. Fuck. Sorry, Steve. Hold on 1 second.
Can I just say?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, are we going to cut that out entirely? Because Georgia got up to get something.
Oh, yeah.
And as she walked over to her stairs, started walking down it and goes, oh, my God, what if I fall down these stairs?
Wouldn't that be great if I just died by falling down the stairs?
So clean. 100th episode.
100th episode about a staircase fall.
About a staircase fall. You can't see anything. So Steven and I can actually say anything we want happened.
Yeah.
And as long as we're on the same page.
And the recording would be played in court over and over again. Because as I yell, I go, no, Karen and Steven. Right. That's what I yell for no reason.
And then I'll be like, Your Honor, you can clearly hear Steven stroking his mustache. You know he's sitting down.
Yeah.
You can hear me eating cake and drooling about fucking cake.
Well, where was the cake placed at the time? Was it on the staircase?
It was into my mouth.
Okay.
The whole time.
Should we just read them at the same time?
Sure. Go?
And then I was thinking.
You mean two people talk at the same time?
Perfect. We just, okay, ready. On December, go ahead.
1972.
I think at the beginning of this, we should say what we think, like, what we think the truth is.
Okay.
And
I think we should say that till the end.
Well, I'm going to convince you as my truth.
Okay.
What about you?
Well, I was just going to, I mean, maybe we just talk through it as we go.
And we'll just, and if then we're yelling at each other, then we have different opinions.
Yes.
If we're like building each other up.
If love can build a bridge.
Yeah. Then we both think he's guilty.
I definitely think he's guilty.
Oh, good. Me too.
Yeah.
Okay. 100%.
I mean, come on.
Well, you know what's funny is before I watched the staircase, I thought, I was like, well, the owl theory makes so much sense, which we'll get to, you guys.
Yes.
But now that I'm like, oh, no, you're so sweet, baby angel. You think that fucking UFOs exist and an owl.
Well, they do. Now we know they do.
They do.
Unidentified alien alloys have been discovered. Aliens exist. I've known that. Anyone that watches Ancient Aliens knows it and has known it for quite some time.
Sidebar. Anyone who's met a Siamese cat knows that they're fucking aliens.
That aliens live here. They were here first. Uh-huh. It's their planet. Yeah, we're visiting it.
Everything.
Wait. I was going to say that I think that the reason that documentary is so amazing and effective is because you never see, or you rarely see, the murderer's family featured the way this family is featured.
Oy vey.
So you go through it with the family.
Yeah.
And you want what the family wants because there's so much pain and horror going on and the layers keep unpeeling where you're like, oh no. So then you start to understand why
people do the things they do. Watching it was so problematic for me because what's so funny about the documentary is clearly made from a standpoint that he is innocent. Which is so ironic that it made me 100% sure that he's guilty. So there's something fucking off there. And what is off is Michael Peterson's personality.
Hell yes.
And how fucking creepy and narcissistic and wrong he is. And I swear to God, the two adopted daughters, they're in a fucking cult. Don't call your dad.
Right.
Because he's...
Because you got to get off the phone with your dad.
Those two girls, man.
It's very sad, but I think that documentary wasn't necessarily on his side. I think they were doing we're just verite, we're here to record what's happening and what happens
happens.
But they
left out so much evidence that's, I just don't think that's possible.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, but I think it, in pretending that it's guiding you this way, opens the door to let you go that way.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
It's that thing of like, you can come all the way into the house because we know he's innocent. And then you're like, yeah, I smell a rat, which none of that would have happened if they hadn't done it that way.
It's like, it's the case of fucking this guy who thinks that he seems very empathetic and seems deep and interesting when really everyone is so onto him. Can I read can we start by me saying, when he got out on bail of prison, the first thing he said, are you ready for this? Oh, do you have it on recorded?
Go ahead and then we'll see if it's the same thing.
Okay. Kathleen was my life. I whisper her name in my heart 1,000 times. She is there, but I can't stop crying.
Kathleen was my life. I whisper her name in my heart 1,000 times. She is there. But I can't stop crying.
It's just like...
Wait. I would never have done anything to hurt her.
That's... Okay.
I am innocent of these charges.
Real loud.
And we will prove it in court.
Well, if we're going to, I have stuff to talk about those last two lines too. Oh my God, let's get into this. This is going to be fun because those last two lines, oh God, I have the
fucking. Okay, but really quick. So you and I just picked out the exact same moment where, because that was also in that episode.
By the way, everyone, he's in an asphalt parking lot when he says that.
With news cameras in front of him, and he is doing the worst acting. It's like.
Of sorrow.
It's. This I was faux somber, and then like I'm a really good writer, so here's you can see him practicing this in the mirror. It is the fakest fucking thing you've ever seen, and it is such a presentation. It's so much artifice.
And in the background is his poor daughter. Okay, here we go.
Guys. But I was going to say, starting from the 911 call, which is also insanely fake.
Okay, well, here's what I told Steven, and let me know if you're up for this.
You know what? We might to start doing things at the same one at the same
episode
time.
Episode 101, 100 through fucking 199 is us together, either but not knowing.
We don't know what the case is. Either that or this is because we both want to say something the most irritating episode we've ever done.
This could be the biggest clusterfuck, which is why like some people who don't know what this case is are like, can you just tell me what happened first?
If you don't know what the case is, you
hang
can't
up
afford
the phone.
It
please don't hang up the phone.
Hang up the phone.
All right. Okay. On December 9th, 2001, this dude named Michael Peterson, you've heard his voice, he's a creep, called 911 to report that he had just found his wife of 14 years, 48-year-old Kathleen, unconscious, and he said he thought that she fell down the stairs of their Forest Hills home in Durham, North Carolina.
Yep.
Michael said that he had been outside by the pool and had come in at 2:40 a.m. to find Kathleen at the foot of their stairs. He maintained that she must have fallen down the stairs because they had been drinking and she had taken Valium all night. Interject at any fucking moment.
Oh, I was just going to say, Valium is kind of a one-off thing in my experience. It's not like you party with it all night long.
Right.
You take the one, you're going to go to bed.
Good night.
Yeah.
End of story.
Yeah.
Okay. But when police arrived, the amount of blood on the walls made them suspicious. So toxicology reports show that that Kathleen had an alcohol content of 0.07%. How many, Karen, I want to ask you something right now. I was thinking it'd be fun if we got a breathalyzer and made Steven get that drunk and see how drunk that is.
It's not that drunk.
And then
I would
made
say
him
that's
walk down
like
the stairs.
Four healthy glasses of wine.
Yeah.
Because 0.08 is legally.
Right. That's not illegal in North Carolina.
My point is it's not that high.
Right.
Like you can get arrested for buzz driving because 0.08 is not sloppy, drunk, crazy.
Yeah.
0.08
you shouldn't drive at that point.
You have impaired yourself,
right.
But you're not,
So devil's advocate, it's not impossible that at that point you'd fall down the flight of stairs if you were running up them. Not
100%.
Impossible. Yeah.
But sorry, she's running up stairs.
Yeah.
And she's falling backwards, not from the top of the stairs, but almost from the bottom of the stairs.
Well, let's get to that.
Okay.
Too. So Michael claimed that he had been outside by the pool with Kathleen. They had been talking because they're madly in love with each other, according to him, until she went in around midnight, and that he had come back in around 45 minutes later at 2:04. I don't know. The timeline's weird. To find her at the foot of the stairs. So. But here's the thing. It was fucking December, and he's saying he's sitting by the pool finishing his drink and shit in shorts and a t-shirt. It's 50 to 55 degrees outside. You know how you do.
Right. Which is like, your couch and your warm house is whatever, 40 feet away.
Yeah.
But you're just going to go sit by the pool. Unless they were fighting.
For 45 minutes. But it's also a fucking palatial mansion. So there's 800 rooms for you to go into.
Yes. But I mean, like, if they got into a spat at the pool and she stormed in, if she fell so badly that she was killed, you would hear that and you would hope that you would.
The clonk. Yeah.
Even if you didn't know for sure, you'd be like, maybe I should go check.
Yeah.
Even if I'm mad, I should go check.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that.
Right.
For an hour almost.
Yes. Okay. Da, 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 da. Okay. And the other thing is, too, so he calls 911. And before the ambulance gets there, between that time, his son Todd, from a previous marriage, who's like in his 20s, is already there. What's he doing there? Okay.
Well, he lived at the house, though.
No, he didn't.
Oh, I thought he did.
I don't think he did. He didn't live there.
He was out of the house at a party.
Yeah,
this was a movie, the American Justice, that I watched. He was down the street at a party.
Okay.
And then came home.
So the autopsy report concluded that Kathleen sustained severe injuries, including a fracture of the thyroid neck cartilage, which isn't the hyoid bone. No. We always talk about, but something similar. And 7 lacerations at the top and back of her head, consistent with blows from a blunt object caused by homicidal assault, and had died from blood loss 90 minutes to 2 hours after sustaining her injuries. So here's what I was thinking. Since we both think he's guilty and it's all bullshit, should we listen to the 911 call?
No.
Come on.
Okay, you can play it. You can play it. But it's...
We can say it, too.
It's... Normally, 911 calls upset me because it's a real moment of the worst. It, like, makes my adrenaline go.
Yeah.
Like, but this instead fills me with absolute disgust because it's insanely fake.
That's why I want to listen to it. Because right. It's like...
Do you have it?
I told Stephen to have it ready. It's just so... unbelievable to me.
911, what is your emergency?
1810 Cedar Street, please.
What's wrong?
My wife had an accident. She's still breathing.
What kind of accident?
She fell down the stairs. She's still breathing. Please come.
Is she conscious?
What?
Is she conscious?
No, she's not conscious.
Okay.
Please.
How many stairs did you
what?
Fall down?
Huh?
How many stairs?
Stairs.
How many stairs? Calm down, sir. Calm down.
No, 15, 20, I don't know. Please, get somebody here right away. Please.
Okay, somebody's dispatching the ambulance while I ask you questions.
It's in Forest Hills, okay? Please, please.
He is... The fakery is he wants to get off that phone.
Yeah.
He is playing a part and he can't sustain it.
He's delivering his part and that's all he can do.
And it's that thing in like acting where it's like if you scream really loud, then there's nowhere else to go. So he didn't start trying to be calm, which is I think what people normally do. Mm-hmm. Or if they're having a reaction, they listen because they need help. So they want to listen to what the person who can give them help is doing
right.
and saying.
And because the person on the other line is going to tell them how to potentially save this person's life.
Yes.
So you need to calm down and listen to that's what they're trained to do.
Yeah. But he's not doing any of those things because he just wants the big show of how upset he is.
Right. And he wants to deliver his information, A, that she's still alive, to lie about the timeline and that she fell downstairs. The fact that he doesn't mention, and if you see the photos, it's an insane amount of blood. And the fact that he doesn't yell, there's so much blood. Oh my, you know, like most people, if they see the amount of blood would freak the fuck out.
Yes. The blood part, when you like in the one that I was watching, the second the camera goes in and they have like the police camera of walking in, the amount of blood that's there is so ridiculous for a stair fall, for a slip and fall downstairs.
Yeah.
Which is not, if you think about like when you fall down, you skin your knee. If you hit your head, you'd have a little bit of blood. There is blood everywhere at the bottom of the staircase.
Pooling.
And then smeared and then splatted over it.
Yeah.
Like it's nuts.
And the other thing that this person, Ursula Franco, who's a criminologist, she has a really great website, MALKE Crime Notes. She does the thing I love, where she breaks down the wording in a lot of his speeches and things he says. And one of them is that when she says, how many stairs? That's a question he did not expect to hear. And it takes him 15 to 25 seconds from the beginning of the call to answer that because he wasn't near the body when he was asked that question.
Uh-huh.
So the thing is, and she says, most people, when someone is hurt are next to the body because they're ready to help and they want direction on how to help.
Right.
But he was in another room away from the mess. And so he stalls by saying, stairs. And it's only because he has to run over and see how many stairs there are.
And they said when they did the luminol test, mm-hmm. they showed barefoot tracks mm-hmm. away from the area and going into different parts of the house. So
right.
he was in the blood. He was standing over her body and then left. Which is like if your loved one, the person that you love the most in the world, was laying in a pile of blood, where are you going?
Yeah.
Like what it doesn't really track.
No.
Seemingly.
Yes. Well, we're always right. So, okay. So also there's a bloody shoe print. So Kathleen is found in this prone position on her back at the bottom of the staircase, like laying up the first couple stairs. Right. So she's on her back.
Yeah.
But on the back of her sweatpants is a shoe print that matches the shoes that Michael was wearing that night But when the ambulance arrives and the EMT arrives, he's not wearing shoes. For some reason, he's fucking barefoot and his socks and shoes are off and like near her body.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Because he didn't want to track it, probably, right? So how would his shoe print end up there?
You mean like when he kicks her down the stairs or kicks her from behind
right.
or something?
Right. Yeah.
Well, also that when they get into, and I mean, we're not going to be able to do this chronologically. I don't like yeah, it's wrecks it for the discussion. But
true.
Like in the case when they talk about when the defense is talking about what possibly could have happened to make that much blood, that is not an attack
and that many. Wounds on her head, because it's 7 wounds. So it's not like she fell down the stairs and maybe would have sustained 2 head injuries. Let's be generous, because we also know she didn't fall from the top of the stairs.
Yeah.
She fell from 5 or 6 stairs up.
Yeah.
So to get 7 head injuries, how did they explain it? It's fucking hilarious.
She falls, she hits her head, she gets up, spits blood. Like they're trying to rationalize how blood is everywhere. She slips and falls back down,
which is explaining the fact that she had blood on the bottoms of her bare feet. Even though if she had fallen and become unconscious, she wouldn't have blood on the bottoms of her feet.
Right.
So she did. How, like, they have to explain that too.
Right.
So that's, then they say that she does that multiple times, tries to get up, falls, and hits her head hard enough to lacerate her fucking skull.
So yep. Meanwhile, her loving, loving husband is sitting out by the pool.
Right.
She is slipping and falling in her own blood and dying, and he doesn't hear it and doesn't come inside for 45
minutes.
From
a 0.07 wine intake and a Valium.
I just keep thinking of the time I fell down on the street in front of the movie theater, mm-hmm. my legendary story,
mm-hmm.
where I skinned my knee. When you fall down, even like, say, 8 stairs, you break a hip,
mm-hmm.
you break your kneecap, I don't think anyone ever does that, but I'm just saying worst case scenario. Yes, you sprain your ankle, you get a concussion on your head. If you did cut your head, you have a little bit of blood. The idea that there's a pool of blood splattered on every wall, smeared all around.
And to be fair, we all know the head, the scalp bleeds profusely.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But why would 7 lacerations be present if, you know, it's...
And all in the same spot. It's
right.
Not like all, like she's falling down and...
Hit her temple, hit the back of her head, it's all on the back and lower part of her head, as if she was running up the stairs away from someone.
Yep.
And they hit her with something.
Who clocked her, like repeatedly beat her down.
Yeah.
Essentially.
What I think is interesting is that there's a spot of blood on the wall as if the first attack had happened. Someone tried to clean up the blood and then she wasn't dead. And there's blood spray over the spot where someone was trying to clean the blood off the wall.
Yes.
So that means I think it's either that she became conscious again and wasn't dead and he beat her again, or he tried to clean it, realized it wasn't going to work, and so tried to cover up that clean spot with more blood, just kind of sprayed it on there.
Jesus.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes. That's dark. I mean,
I
like the idea that then
you can tell the difference between the blood that was already there and the blood that wasn't, that came later.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's so many things in this case that make it so he'll never, so people can question this forever. And one of them is the fucking blood spatter analyst.
Yeah, I mean, who Dwayne?
Dwayne. Let's talk about Dwayne.
He's truly my favorite part of that documentary, because he looks like he was cast by the Coen brothers. He is the goofiest looking motherfucker. Uh-huh. And the way he talks about the blood spatter, the way he gets excited, like he's the expert here or whatever. And then, of course, come to find out later on, after this case, after he's tried, after he's convicted, this blood spatter guy, it turns out, wait, I have the details here from Steven's timeline and also from... I wrote Dirty Dwayne Deaver.
Dirty Dwayne!
A government-ordered inquest found that
right.
agents of the FBI, including Dwayne Deaver, repeatedly aided prosecutors in obtaining convictions over a 16-year period by misrepresenting blood evidence and keeping critical notes from the attorneys. That was 34 cases where he falsely represented evidence.
So essentially, Michael Peterson gets found guilty. He spends 8 years in prison. And then fucking Dirty Dwayne comes out that he's a lying liar who lies.
Yeah.
And all this shit comes out. And so even if his blood spatter analysis in this case was totally correct, it doesn't fucking matter. Which some of it is, and some of it I understand isn't.
Well, a lot of it is just him riffing. So it's like him at home going, well, if you do this, then this. Yeah. And if we here, I'm going to do this sponge. With this.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's doing a lot of like, I approximated it. So right. Now this is scientific evidence.
Like he does it enough times until it fits the story he wants to tell.
Right.
Which is so problematic.
Yeah. Yeah. And crazy. And the idea that, that amount, what was I gonna say, it was the amount of blood and the just to me it's open and shut in that part where it's like if you're saying she fell backwards down the stairs a couple times, it still does not, it just doesn't explain that amount of blood.
Right.
It doesn't.
Right. Well, so Michael Peterson also had blood on the inside crotch of his shorts, so that, you know, the Dirty Dwayne's argument was that could only happen if he was standing over her beating her.
Right.
Blood spatter, which is probably fucking true.
Yes.
But
then I guess scientifically you can say, but you could sit here and go, or if he flicked his shoe up and there's some, like you can't attest for what happens to liquid in a certain scenario. The thing I think is super fake. I mean, like it sucks because that guy himself being a fraud made everything a fraud.
Exactly.
Where it's still, it's the amount of blood, whatever direction it spattered in or whatever.
Yeah.
This is not I fell down the stairs and hit my head a couple times reasonably.
Yeah.
This is like a murder scene.
There's like four things, we'll get to all of them, but there's four things that make you go, this isn't an open and shut case. And one of them is Dirty Dwayne.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to the other ones.
If you're like me, you're always looking for a story to dive into. Whether it's a family drama or a mystery to solve, the key to getting hooked is the details. I need rich visuals and intricate storylines, and June's Journey has that and more. June's Journey is a mobile mystery game that follows June Parker, a daring young woman, on a quest to uncover the truth about her sister's murder. This is your chance to test your detective skills because you'll play the game as June herself. Explore beautifully designed scenes from the 1920s, like lavish estates and gardens, and don't forget to keep an eye out for hidden clues. There are twists, turns, and catchy tunes, all leading you deeper into the thrilling storyline. And if you play well enough, you could make it to the Detective Club. There, you'll chat with other players and compete with or against them. June needs your help, but watch out, you never know which character might be a villain. Shocking family secrets will be revealed, but will you crack the case? Find out as you escape this world and dive into June's world of mystery, murder, and romance. It's all just one tap away. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. That's June's Journey. Download the game for free on iOS and Android. Goodbye. Hey, Karen, you know that feeling when you're stressed out and your heart starts to pound and your mind is racing?
I do. I know it well.
Well, while there's no cure for stress, therapy can help shape your response to it. And since May is Mental Health Awareness Month, there's no better time to try Talkspace.
When you sign up for Talkspace, you'll receive a personalized match with a therapist or psychologist, typically within 48 hours.
Forbes rates Talkspace as the number one online therapy platform, plus their licensed professionals are in network with almost all major insurance companies.
Once you meet your therapy goals, or if you want to cancel for any reason, Talkspace will provide you with a prorated refund for unused time. I feel like these days people understand the importance of therapy, but the difficult part is just taking that first step. It took me months to make my first therapy appointment. I was so scared. I had a lot of ideas in my head about it. And that's why I think Talkspace is such a good idea, because making it so approachable will just get you there sooner. Then you can actually get in there, figure out what you need, talk to an actual professional, and be on your way to solving some stuff that you might want to solve.
To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering our listeners $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80.
Go to Talkspace.com/MFM and use promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/MFM and enter promo code SPACE80 and get $80 off your first month and show your support for our show.
That's Talkspace.com/MFM. Enter promo code SPACE80.
Goodbye.
Well, and the daughter, I never saw this in The Staircase, but the daughter, Caitlin, who was Kathleen's daughter from her first marriage, she said that when they first, when Kathleen and Michael first got married and she moved into the house with the family, she saw him with like a hair trigger temper and rage issues several times.
Say that? I've never heard
in
that.
In this episode of American Justice, they have her speaking and she's not in, as far as I remember, she's not in The Staircase.
She's not because... she was his two biological sons, his two adopted daughters, and Caitlin, who was Kathleen's daughter, were all on his side. And then Caitlin saw the autopsy report and changed her mind. But she ended up suing him, too. Right?
Yeah.
And taking him to
and
court
winning.
And winning for wrongful death. Okay, sorry. Where were
because
you?
He did it.
Because did it.
It's like he did it just from the get-go.
But, okay, let's talk about the fucking problems that pop up. And they pop up. It's so interesting on The Staircase because they pop up during the recording. Do you want to get into those?
Sure.
The gay porn thing?
I love that guy. He's my favorite part of The Staircase.
Oh, my God. What did he? What was his argument on the stand? What did he say verbatim? I knew diddly.
Oh, I don't. I mean, okay. I think he had a lot of good quotes.
Let's get into it. Okay, so what I wrote about was that like there were two motives, and one was that Kathleen had a $1.5 million life insurance policy.
Why?
Uh huh. Well, because
so high.
She was very fucking wealthy, had a good job. But so around $2 million with all of her assets, and at the time of her death, and that the Petersons were facing financial issues. They had $143,000 in debt at the time of Kathleen's death. Kathleen's company was undergoing major layoffs. Kathleen was in danger of losing her $145,000 a year job and her benefits. And she had deferred a lot of her salary, so they didn't have a lot of cash, which is why they were in so much debt. And Michael hadn't had income for a lot of years. So, and also, I think secretly, the sons were in a lot of debt as well, because there was an email to Michael Peterson's ex-wife talking about how they were going to deal with their son's debt. And in the email, it said, Michael says, I cannot speak to Kathleen about this.
Oh, because it's like, because the money was such a huge issue.
Because who knows why? Yeah, because money was an issue, because she was sick of, you know, this is speculation, because she was sick of helping them, because, you know, they weren't her biological sons for whatever reason. You know, they'd gotten into legal trouble in the past, which is true. So there was some secretive stuff going on about money.
Mm-hmm.
So there's money, which I don't think is, I think this is a crime of passion. I don't think the money...
No, I don't think the money, and I don't think the gay porn, which
you don't.
In the American Justice, they're like, Kathleen was on his computer 2 hours before her death. And the theory is that she stumbled upon.
I don't think it's the gay porn. I think it's the fact that he was trying to hire a gay sex worker to have sex with. And she stumbled upon that information. You don't think it's that?
No.
What do you think the motive is?
I don't know. But I mean, you could, her going on his computer doesn't mean she found anything.
Yeah, but okay, except that she never went on that computer. The only reason she was doing it is because the next morning she had a conference call, and so she didn't have her work laptop at home with her. So one of her colleagues sent her some information that she needed to get off the home computer. So she checked it before midnight, which she never did. She had to ask Michael Peterson for the password to get into their like joint email account. So she was never on that computer, and he had printouts of a conversation he had with a male escort about the kind of sex that they were going to have and like when he could come over. I read all the emails between the two of them. It's fucking intense.
Proof that she read that?
Well, I mean, no, but if she opened the drawer, one drawer to get a pen or whatever and found this, or, you know, clicked on one email in their email chain and saw it. I mean, it's so easy when she's on that PC to find any evidence of this. Gave this, you know, his bisexuality, his hiring escorts, his affairs with men. that he had had in their relationship. It's so easy if she had not stumbled upon that and then died that night. I mean, it's just, there's too much of a link between those two things to me.
Well, I just think if he'd been doing that secretly for a long time, he wouldn't have them printed up and sitting in a drawer. Like, he
maybe gotten away with it for so long that he thought.
Well, it's not that long. I mean, it's like what, they were together for 8 years or like it's,
they were together 10 years before they got married.
Well, so I guess my point is, this, I don't buy the idea that all of a sudden she's clicking things and it's like, that's it. And also because that's her being enraged at him. I think something happened where she's like,
what the fuck is this? I'm going to expose you. Get the fuck out of my house. He has no money. He hasn't had a job in 3 years. She's like,
but that's like, so you're saying that the marriage was like eroding anyway. And then this was her, the like final straw.
No, I think her finding emails that he is literally planning for that week, a meetup with a gay escort too. And in the emails, rim job, he's a top. Like, this is how big his dick is. He's had sex in the past with these men. He's done, like, the emails are insane. And a conversation of not someone who is new at this.
Right.
So she finds those emails and realizes and comes downstairs and confronts him. What the fuck is this? This is not who I married. I'm losing my fucking mind, you know, has the emails in her hand, goes to walk upstairs. He fucking panics. His whole life is about to be exposed.
But sorry. So do we know for a fact those emails were printed up?
Yeah.
That's evidence that they had. Yeah. Not that the lawyers printed them, but Michael Peterson printed the emails.
According to forensic files. Yes. They were printed in the drawer in his office.
Okay. Well, I guess my point is that's all very, that just seems like if he had a secret gay life, that would be something. I just didn't see that relationship and the way, I guess, it was presented. I was thinking more of she said something to him. That was more of like her attacking him.
Well, so why couldn't it be you're fucking gay?
It can
be. What is this
shit? I'm just telling you that it seems really, it's convenient because it's the one night she uses the computer the one time and then she finds everything. Like, he's not hiding it at all. A, and then B, the lawyers use that in the courtroom, as this huge thing of like, oh my God, he's not who anybody. And it was, to me, that was one of those moments in the documentary that was so amazing, because then you watched all of those people in Durham be like, this is disgusting. This is horrifying. Oh my God, this is insane. Where it's like, actually, there's tons of people that do it all the time.
See, but I think,
which is why I loved that fucking sex worker, because he got up there and just like, yeah, this is what, it happens a lot. It's not a big deal.
What I don't think that the people in Durham and in the documentary, Michael Peterson talks a lot of shit about closed-mindedness here in North Carolina, blah, blah, blah. But I don't think they were upset with him being bisexual or having homosexual relationships. I think that they were pointing out what a liar Michael Peterson was. And Michael Peterson was saying that Kathleen knew about his infidelities with men, was open to him being bisexual and experiencing that outside of his relationship with her. But I think the argument was he's a known liar. He lied about getting the Purple Heart in Vietnam. He lied that he had gotten some injuries in a car accident in Japan years before and said that he had gotten them in Vietnam. His ex-wife and he divorced because he was having affairs with men and women. So they were showing him as a known liar, and saying that she knew about the gay relationships takes away the motive that he would have killed her because she found out about it that night and he flipped the fuck out.
Well, I mean, look, it's not like I'm saying that isn't true, or I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying, to me, that seems like it pulls through the thing, because in the documentary, they do, in the courtroom, people act like, holy fuck, it's on camera. It's like one of the biggest parts of that documentary.
I mean,
that's just my point of people in Durham were freaked out about it. People in Durham were, it did become the way that woman, Freda Brown, the prosecutor, starts talking about him and this.
Yeah.
And
gay.
She's so evil about it. It's she like is. She's like the Wicked Witch of the West.
She is.
So that, to me, I felt like that was a card that they played to cast him in this light in the courtroom to make him look bad. And then when you watch the documentary, you're like, well, those people are bad and that makes him good. And so you start playing against, you know what I mean? It's like, well, they're bad and he's good.
But
as
maybe,
opposed to.
But I think maybe the card was I think they were surprised to hear that a straight married man was having these illicit relationships with men. I don't think it was that he's having relationships with men. This man's having a relationship with men. I think it was.
I definitely do.
I mean, I'm not so fucking stupid that I think that, you know, people don't get surprised when they find out someone's gay, obviously. But I think part of it was, did Kathleen, I mean, it's such a great narrative of she found out this thing about him that he, you know, even if she knew he looked at gay porn, found out that he is, he's planning on meeting up with and paying for sex from a gay escort. She found out that night. That's the night she died. Like, the fact that she was on the computer that night, even though she's never on the computer, and but, that's but the night she slipped and
but
fell.
We don't know for a fact that's the night she found out. We just know that he had printed up emails, right, and that he erased that. Like, that the cops found out he was erasing stuff off his computer, right, and then they went in and were like, your computer's filled with gay porn, yeah, and but, you're having these affairs. But we don't she know went she
on,
found out.
But she went on the computer for the first time in a long time that night that she died.
Yes, I get that.
That's a crazy coincidence.
It's not, though. I mean, like, I just don't
I'm
think
saying
it
it's not a crazy coincidence. It's not a coincidence. It's like, that's the motive. That she found out that he was paying for sex from a gay guy.
But I get it. My thing is, I think it's too much of a coincidence to say all of those things happened because she was like, oh, I got to check my email here. I in my mind, that's a thing that got pulled through so that it would be like,
yeah,
you know,
salacious.
So it would be against him. And then, you know, and then when the documentary comes and everyone in like 2015 or yeah, whenever it was, looks at that, they're like, well, fuck those, yeah, Southern bigots.
Yeah.
And then and that makes him look good somehow. Mm-hmm. But I guess my point was, I think something else happened that would, like, when he talks and he is so remote and calm and, oh, he's just so affable and so intelligent. And so
those
you
eyebrows.
See that thing where it's like, but the one thing that would turn him, and I'm not saying I know what it is.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's a thing that makes him snap, go into a rage, and then beat her till the whole fucking stairwell is bloody. So like, it's not like, hey, you yeah, did this and you did that, or her like being shrill and up.
Maybe he's
his
never
face.
Been abusive before.
He has been.
Oh, has he?
Yes. But then we get into, okay, right? Then we get into the family friend, the woman in Germany.
But
who
is
they
that
find
abuse?
Out.
Okay. Yes. So the other weird bombshell that came out during the staircase being filmed.
Well, no, it's during the case, but I mean, it's, yeah, because is it Kathleen's sister or his first wife's sister, uh-huh, calls and says, you do realize.
Right.
Oh, no, sorry. It's the girl's mother's sister. So it's the, okay, girl's aunts that Michael Peterson is their
adopted,
his wards. And the aunt calls and says, you do realize their mother was, like, died at the bottom of a staircase after he walked them home.
And he
after,
was the last person to see her alive.
Yeah, he walked the mother and girls home after they ate dinner at the Peterson's house. And then a neighbor saw him running out of the house later on, and she was found at the bottom of the stairs with 7 lacerations on her head.
On the back of her head.
Exactly the same fucking death 20 years before. That's... Yeah. Insanity.
It here, let's see. Okay, so yeah. So 2 decades before Michael Peterson found Kathleen at the bottom of her stairs, he had been friends with another woman named Elizabeth Ratliff, and they had all lived in Germany. Michael Peterson was married to his first wife at the time, had his 2 sons. Elizabeth apparently died after a fall down a staircase, and Michael had been the last person to see her alive. Authorities ruled Ratliff's death to be of natural causes, concluding that a cerebral hemorrhage caused her to fall and strike her head.
Which makes absolutely no sense.
Right.
So they're saying something, basically she was at the top of the stairs, went, oh my God, my head, and fell down the stairs, got 7 lacerations. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like,
it's
the
like
same thing.
That one time you get what happened. You get why they concluded that. You know what I mean? It's almost,
sure,
like, yeah, okay, that could have happened.
Fell down the stairs,
right?
Not looking into
she
it.
She had headaches before, like supposedly, it had headaches before weeks before that happened. So She also looks so fucking identical. Elizabeth Ratcliffe and Kathleen look like they could be fucking sisters in the most insane way.
Yes. There's a part where there's side-by-sides of Elizabeth in the like 70s probably and Kathleen. And you could completely go, oh, that's her in the 70s and that's her now.
Yeah, totally.
They look so similar.
Totally.
It's insane.
And it's this thing of like, you know, did he kill the first woman? Did he kill Elizabeth? Or did Elizabeth just die that way? And so when he killed Kathleen 20 years later, he set up her body to look the way Elizabeth, you know, like maybe he didn't kill Elizabeth, the first one. Maybe she actually died that way. And he, in this moment of like, well, I need to set the body to look like it was an accident, kind of recreated the same scene.
But that would mean he was at the scene.
Right.
Because he probably...
He found her body. He came... when the nanny found Elizabeth Ratcliffe's body, she went and got Michael Peterson.
Oh, so he saw it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I also don't believe that. I think he killed
her. No.
I
mean. Well, also because it doesn't explain the 7 lacerations. It doesn't explain... It's like in the... What was that fucking... Jessica Biel show called.
Yeah, The Sinner.
Remember when she stabs him the exact same way?
Yeah.
That's what it reminds me of, where it's like 7 head lacerations, where it's like, if it's a blow poke or if it's whatever the thing is, it's like someone goes, fuck you, walks away from him, goes upstairs or however it happens, and he just walks up and goes, da-na-na-na-na. And like,
that's his muscle memory. That's what he does to stop someone.
And it's a rageaholic explosion where it's like this crazy attack and it happens the same way. And then, I mean, who knows? This is all obviously bullshit theory, but...
But we're right.
But to me, he does really seem like one of those people that's like, he's going to keep it so chill no matter what. Because he does it all the way through the...
It's so crazy.
Him talking to camera in the staircase is like one of the most infuriating things to me.
This is why part of the reason why I couldn't watch more than 5 episodes is I was just like, I do not want to see this man again and hear him speak. Like, it was one of those things where Vince had to be like, okay, Georgia, we need to go to bed. Because I was screaming at him about... Not screaming, but I was like, oh, you know, just yelling at him because he's such a fucking... narcissistic
and he
creep.
Does that. He's a little bit of a like Mr. Magoo where he's like, oh, I don't really know,
right.
I know, it's good. He's making jokes. He's like, his brother's there and they're all just kind of, oh, well, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
And there's no shame. There's doesn't seem to be any real affect.
Yeah.
So he's not like, you don't see him. The only time he ever seems like worried or to have real human reactions is when they're talking about how much jail time he's looking at. Other than that, it's like, oh, Kathleen, she was really something.
He answers things in a way incorrectly. Like, so I printed out this thing from the Malky crime notes where, okay. So at the end of that, I whisper her name bullshit when he says, I would never have done anything to hurt her. The way he says that, it's an this chick, Ursula Franco, says it's an unreliable denial, saying, I would have never done anything to hurt her. And then you can add in, unless, blah, blah, blah.
Unless she sassed
unless
me on the
she
stairs.
She had done something wrong. Yeah. I would have never done anything to hurt her to begin with, right? And then he also says hurt instead of kill to minimize and distance himself from what happened to deal with the negative emotions. And she says it's a common strategy used by guilty people to deal with feelings of guilt. And then he says, I am innocent of these charges. That doesn't mean he didn't kill her. He's innocent of the charges he's being brought up on.
Right.
So it's another not reliable denial. To affirm to be innocent is different from saying I didn't kill.
Yeah.
Which is expected. When people say they are innocent, they're just denying the conclusion that they are guilty. And just when they say I didn't do it, they are denying the action. So he's saying he's not guilty of the charges, leaving out what the charges are. Again, not telling you. I'm innocent of killing my wife.
And it's that, it's the super egomaniacal thing of, I am innocent.
Yeah.
This is about me and I'm being persecuted and it's so sad for me.
Right. I didn't kill my wife.
Yeah.
I would never hurt Kathleen.
Yes.
Nothing like that.
I would never hurt Kathleen conceptually.
Right.
I mean, not really.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's so fucked up. Oh, and then he says, In the OES is I'm truly innocent of these charges. Just of course, when you say truly, it's like, why are you making a like a qualifier? Blah, yes, blah, blah.
As opposed to regular innocent.
Right. Yeah. Truly. But then another quote he says is, when I think of Kathleen, and he says this in The Staircase, when I think of Kathleen, what I remember, unfortunately, is her dying in my arms. That's true. She died in my arms. Why did he have to say that?
Killed. He's like goosing the sympathy.
Yeah. And it's also like, we think she died hours before that. So him saying, it's true, she died in my arms. Cause the first time he called 911, he said she was still alive. And the second time he said she wasn't. But based on the neurons, which we need to talk about, the red blood neurons in her brain, she died hours before. Then he says something about how the last time, that was, he says, when she was walking to go back into the house after they had been sitting outside, that was the last time he saw her alive. And then he goes, except for when I found her. Like, he has to be like, oh, fuck, my story is that I found her alive at the bottom of the stairs.
Yeah.
Which he didn't.
He forgot.
Right.
He forgot that was the story.
Right.
Well, the one thing I was going to say is they talk about it really bugs me. Like, when I was watching the documentary, the prosecutorial team, which he hired before there were charges against him.
And what another narcissistic creep.
Yes, that lawyer.
Yeah, what's his name?
I don't remember.
Rudolph.
But
something.
But basically, he tries to say there is no way that somebody could beat somebody else with a blow poke in that staircase. Or with any instrument that would have given her those 7 deep lacerations in the back of her head at the bottom of that staircase, there's not enough room that you couldn't pull that thing up over your head over and over, and beat someone with that, which is a bullshit because you don't know, it's not the blow poke itself. So it's like predicating everything on this one concept, which is like, we don't know if that's it.
We also don't know if it's a blow poke, that's the murder weapon.
Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And also, or he could just be holding it right up to the hilt, right, and it's not like he's got it at the very end. Like,
or I read in another thing that maybe he just hit her head against the stairs.
Sure.
And that would take a small hit to open the scalp up and not cause skull fractures, which is one of the points that people made, is if he had beaten her, there'd be skull fractures, and there wasn't. So if it was an up close hit, there wouldn't be skull fractures.
Maybe.
Because she died by bleeding out. She didn't die from a skull fracture.
Right. Which normally I think most doctors would say, if you fell down the stairs, hit your head a bunch of times, you still wouldn't bleed out.
Right.
You wouldn't bleed out that quickly.
And you'd have a concussion.
But the other thing is that then later on, they attempt to get a retrial because the neighbor finds a tire iron. And then they say they withheld this evidence that the prosecution withheld this evidence, and so the defense was like, we need a new trial because they withheld the possibility there could be a prowler that had a tire iron.
Oh, Jesus.
So all of a sudden the same people are arguing the exact same, the opposite of what they were saying, which is like, oh, so a prowler could beat her with a tire iron, but he couldn't beat her with a blow poke.
Right, that makes sense.
It doesn't, it's so crazy.
Also, the blow poke was missing, and later in the documentary, the other son finds the blow poke in the garage. Which is weird, right?
Well, the police, who we all know, we're very biased in this, but the police in the American Justice are like, we went all over that garage. The blow poke was not in the garage. Yeah.
And didn't they find the blow poke without the end, the tip?
Yeah, I mean, and they didn't find it, leave it where it was, call the cops, have everybody go take pictures. They presented it in court to say, we found this.
Yeah, and it was on video, right? Like, while they were recording the documentary.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So then we're like, here it is. We found it. Here it is, everybody. And then they're just like, well, yeah, you could have put that there. And then the camera was recording. Right. And oh, my God, this is so perfect.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't mean anything. But they were doing that tricky shit of introducing ideas that are like,
probable doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, so there's all these injuries to her head and neck. Contusions all over her arms and the back of her arms, and she has 0 injuries to her knees and legs, which you think falling down the stairs, you'd absolutely hit your fucking leg.
100%.
So then the other thing Oh God, can we talk about Dr. Henry Lee at some point? Oh my God.
Oh, him spitting that ketchup.
Oh my God.
It's so, and also, you know, they hired him really early.
Yeah.
They hired him. They made sure he was available. Like basically these lawyers knew this thing was going to blow up. He was like semi-famous author. So they knew, they got their, all their heavy hitters like in line.
They knew this could be a big thing.
Yeah.
And they could, they could make it a big thing.
That they're going to get, if he's the guy that got off, you know, that was it a football player?
Right.
He basically exonerated for murder. Then they also were like, well, we'll get Dr. Henry Lee. He's from the OJ trial. Yeah. And we'll get these people and like just line everybody up. So it looks like here's what it looks like. A team of people who get people off.
They wouldn't pay this amount of money if they didn't think he was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So rare red neurons. Okay, basically there were these neurons in Kathleen's brain that were consistent with the brain having a long period, like a couple hours, lack of oxygen before dying. So essentially it shows that these injuries to her head happened hours before he called 911 and she died. And to me, that's... this means she was unconscious a while before she actually died.
Right.
So that to me, that's all you really need.
Like, because it's even longer than his claimed 45 minutes of like, I was out drinking by the pool.
And then when he found her and he's on 911, he's like, she's alive. So that would have been 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's not consistent with, you can't, neurons don't lie.
Right. That's deep science.
Yeah.
Also, the thyroid cartilage that was damaged.
Uh-huh. I can't remember her neck.
How they described that. Was it like you can't break cartilage, right? So it's like it was hemorrhaging.
Yeah.
And so basically that means when your thyroid cartilage is damaged, uh-huh, that's strangulation.
It says a fracture of the thyroid neck cartilage.
Oh, okay. So you can fracture it. So, but it's
It's pressure on the neck.
It's indicative of being strangled, uh-huh, but it also is hemorrhaged. So she was being strangled. She was alive. This isn't a thing where she fell down the stairs, broke her neck, and that's why that was damaged. She was strangled while alive.
Yeah, almost like someone was holding her down.
Yeah.
And also had their foot on the back of her leg to keep her in place and was straddling her at the same time. And that's how he got blood spatters on the inside of his shorts.
Yep. And just hit her on the back of the head as she was sitting on the stairs, flipped her over so that she looked like she had tumbled down.
Tried to clean up a little bit. She came back. She came back to consciousness. And he had to hit her again, covered up those blood spatters, called 911.
I mean, or a prowler came in and hit her with an owl.
Let's add those together if we're going to fucking do this.
The owl theory, the idea of the owl theory is from a neighbor, like a nosy neighbor who has nothing to do with the case, but he's like, I know what this is and it can't be him. And this is really what it is.
People believe it though.
People totally believe
it. We're going to get to that.
And I get the thing where I was looking up owl injuries today.
Yeah.
Because I was like, what do those look like compared to what both of these women with 7 lacerations on the back of their head, what do they look like? Not the same, because owl talons look like puncture wounds.
Right.
And the lacerations are long, drag marky, like cut, deep cuts.
They'll do the, where do they put it? When they put the talon over the wound to show you what it looks like. But actually, owl talons, it's not 3 claws in the front and 1 in the back. They have 3 and it's, you know, listen.
Yes.
I'm not a fucking...
It's mostly just those 3 that go like that.
Right.
They're kind of like, they take up all that space. And the one in the back's up here.
And fun and cool. And I like reading about it, but it's not true.
I don't think it's true because you would have to then say that what's the woman in Germany's name? Liz?
Elizabeth. Yeah. Ratcliffe.
That she was also attacked by an owl. Like, it doesn't make sense because it's the exact same death.
Yeah.
He's the common denominator. Like,
maybe the fucking owl found the gay porn.
Could you imagine? That owl's like, I never use this computer.
Yeah.
But tonight.
That's how fucking ridiculous it is.
I mean, look, Also, with that theory, it was long ago enough that he could have been keeping all of his porn in a little file that said porn underneath it. And then she was like, you know what?
That's true.
What kind of women does he like? What and kind you know of boobs what?
Like,
is he into?
Maybe she was fine with him being into gay porn. Like, that's my thing about it. It's like, maybe she did know he was bisexual and was okay with it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's fine. Nothing's wrong with that. But I think when you get over into fucking paying for sex territory.
Yes. Having affairs is a different thing.
Having an affair with a male escort in your home while you're at work.
Yeah.
You know, that's, and Kathleen had divorced her fucking first husband because he was having an affair. So
oh,
she's
I didn't know
not
that.
Okay or had, you know, had cheated on her. So she's not okay with affairs based on the fact on her history.
Fuck no. Well, no one's okay with affairs.
I don't even mean affairs. I mean, like, you know, open marriages.
Yeah.
And let's he be did chill. Write in one of the emails to this dude he was trying to hire, I'm a married man to a wonderful woman. And she know, or, and, you know, something like that. So it's like, it's just such a weird mindset.
It's like he does whatever he wants.
Right.
And rationalizes it, probably. I think, you know, what would freak me out even more is that the way that Kathleen and Michael met was because when they, when after Michael got divorced from his first wife, mm-hmm. and I think her name's Patty, mm-hmm. and they moved out, she took the sons and Michael stayed with the two girls. The two girls started playing with Caitlin in the neighborhood.
No.
And that's how Kathleen and Michael met in the first place, is because all the girls were friends.
That.
Yeah. And I don't know why that freaks me out so much, but it's like, it's not like they came together in this weird way that,
well, there's like family photos of them that make me uncomfortable. Like, but they're all standing together as like this Brady Bunch family.
Yes.
How old were the adopted girls when Michael and Kathleen got married? They were older.
Yeah, because I think those girls met each other when they were like preteens, maybe.
So
and
the
then,
fact that
but they were together
her,
for like 8 years.
So the fact that they called Kathleen mom makes me a little uncomfortable. Michael just seemed like a cult leader to me, and these two adopted girls who lost, first they lost their biological father, then their mother died in these insane circumstances. They go to and live with this
family friend
and his wife. They divorce.
Yep.
The two girls are with this guy. They find this great woman and they're like, oh, like, it's almost this, like, did Michael tell the adopted daughters to call Kathleen mom in a manipulative way because it would make her want to stick around? You know what I mean?
Or is it just that they wanted normalcy?
Right.
And they just were like, okay, great.
This
We've
is our
landed.
Mom.
We're yeah. doing this. Like, we're building our own family
yeah.
and we're going to make this work.
Well, the sons called her mom too, didn't they?
Yes, but
no, they couldn't have. They had their own mom, like a living mom. Mm,
They did. But
that whole dynamic, there's something off about it to me.
Well, because in this, I keep talking about, like, it's my pride and joy. In this American Justice, uh-huh. there is a part where they are all, and I wonder if the producers of that show manipulated them, but they're all sitting around looking at, like, Christmas pictures. And one of the daughters says, oh, yeah, this is, she loved her stairs. She always had to put her Christmas decorations. And basically she's talking about the front, like, the
yeah.
main house staircase.
Which there's a photo of them together in her wedding dress on the stairs.
Yeah.
So creepy.
But basically it's just her, it's them talking about it, like, oh, she loved her stairs. And
like,
the way,
even,
and it's, and but there she goes, it's so cute. And it's just like them all trying to act like we had the
right.
most perfect life. We had the most perfect life.
They were so in love. It's almost like I guess in the staircase, the adopted daughters feel like they're being paraded to give Michael Peterson sympathy that he has a family who supports him. The way they're shown emotionally so much and talked about as, and they speak on camera so, like, you know, emotionally, that their dad could never do this. It
yes.
almost seems like they're being used by him and his side in a way to have empathy because he has fucking none.
Well, I mean, it seems like it's absolutely their choice. So
right.
It's what they want to do. And I feel like they understand the importance of if someone is accused of this terrible crime, especially if they're innocent, which they believe he is, or at least.
But there's no room for them to even grapple with that idea otherwise.
But I don't think you could in that scenario because it would be like this is like now it's us against them.
Right.
It's not, there's no room for gray.
I need my dad.
What happened?
I need my dad to not have done this.
Could you imagine? Because then if he did that,
then he also,
it opens the door to their own mother.
Well, they fucking end up okaying their own mother, their biological mother, Elizabeth Ratliff, being fucking exhumed.
Yes. Cause they think it's going to prove him innocent.
Right. And instead her cause of death gets changed to homicide.
Yes. Because they see those fucking lacerations and it's all mirror image.
But instead everyone is against Michael Peterson. And that's his narrative is instead they're against him.
Right.
And they're making this stuff up, which, maybe it's true because this fucking blood analyst was making shit up.
I mean, nothing is simple.
That asshole.
Nothing is simple and nothing is ever all one way. Yeah. These are the good guys and these are the bad guys. Ever.
I have room for the fact that I could be totally fucking wrong about all of this and he might be innocent.
100%.
I am not, I will never be like, not never, but there's room for that.
Yes, there is.
This is just how this seems based on the information that I've been able to find.
And the vibes.
And the vibes. Because
it's that vibe that's the thing that drives me the craziest is I just want to go, you don't think you're convincing me of all people because I don't buy your dumb pipe bullshit.
Those eyebrows in that pipe are not fooling me.
And also it's just I'm a connoisseur of good acting and this is not good acting
Are you acting to begin with?
Yes. Why can't
good
you just
good or bad?
Talk?
It's like you can still tell acting whether it's good or bad. Are you bothering?
The thing that we both named, the thing that I played a recording of, is it's terrible acting. It is inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
There is absolutely nothing genuine about it whatsoever. It is as rehearsed. It's like bad community theater.
It's the first time of him speaking to the media too, and he thinks that's what's going to make them get on his side.
Yes,
because he doesn't understand basic human emotions such as. If you're crying and you are freaking out about what's going on, people are on your side because they're like, that's a real emotion.
Right.
That's how he's real. Ugh.
And now I can hear the people that would argue of like, nobody grieves the same.
Right.
Or he was in a
that's
position
not grieving.
He was in a position that nobody could anticipate or imagine.
Well, then
so
why did he have a prepared
doing?
Corny ass fucking statement?
Exactly right. This isn't like they trapped him on the street and forced him to give a statement. This was him breaking his silence to the press and giving an official statement
these are the words he thought would work.
Yes.
So, fuck you.
Yes. It's so crazy. And now I told you that the way I realized he was guilty.
Tell me.
I had been watching, it was the last season of Breaking Bad. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure it was the last season. And it was right at the end where everything's going crazy and Walt keeps having to leave and then he comes back to the family and, you know, his wife's like, what the fuck?
Hated it.
And he was always lying. And there was a part where he is trying to, you know, the thing where he would always make breakfast. So he was trying to make breakfast and look, I'm making breakfast pancakes,
normalcy,
everybody.
Normalcy.
And he is I think either his son or his wife are trying to talk to him and he's opening these drawers and kind of going, what? No, yes, of course. And like keeps fucking with the cupboards and doing stuff while answering questions and like trying to pretend to think, but then doing stuff with the cupboards. There is an almost exact scene in the staircase where Michael Peterson is in the kitchen and they're like asking him some really kind of crucial, you know, things.
Important.
And he is doing Walt exactly from Breaking Bad, where it's like it was such a mirror thing where I was like, whoa, he's totally lying. It was
like Jonathan
the exact same thing.
Cranston watch that, I wonder.
Bryan Cranston.
That's what I meant. Bryan Cranston watch that. Be like,
did Jonathan Overholt watch it?
Listen, there's a Jonathan Cranston out there, I bet you anything.
You went to high school with him, you loved him.
Great
and
guy.
Now you want to know if you watched Breaking Bad.
I bought meth from him. That's fucking crazy.
I know. I just got this weird chill where I was like, oh, Bryan Cranston made that acting choice because that's what it looks like when you lie.
And when you're trying to make it seem casual and to give yourself time to answer.
Yeah.
Because you look like you're focused on something else.
Yep.
And you're not.
I'm so distracted by pancake
Wait,
batter
what? I'm
bowls.
In the middle of a...
What's that? Yes. It's like the weirdest.
Yeah.
And for me, I was like, that's it. It's over. If I was on the jury, I'd be like full on death penalty. Well, at the end of My American Justice,
your favorite,
my favorite American
your
Justice,
favorite hour of TV show ever.
thank you, Beau Curtis, for your service to us as true crime listeners watchers. Mm. You don't know how much you mean to us.
Does he,
Bill Curtis?
Do you think he does?
Oh, you
no?
Could he know?
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't think he could possibly understand how much we love him.
Yeah.
As a, remember in the very beginning, the very first live show we did was that show in Chicago that was
That's
for the Chicago Podcast Festival.
And they knew Bill Curtis.
Somebody said that they might be able to get us a Bill Curtis walk-on. Ugh. And we were like, oh my God. It was like, we were so excited for so long. But
Bill Curtis, our Lord and Savior.
He was busy. Anyhow, at the end of this American Justice, my television show that I produce, there's a jailhouse interview with Michael Peterson. Uh-huh. And in it, he says, I'm in here, I'm as free as I would be out there. And to me, that's that thing of like the truly psychotic where he's basically saying you haven't gotten me.
Yeah.
Like you can do anything you want, but you haven't gotten me.
It's also like the system is so messed up outside of here, like the government and your life and stuff. It's the same as in here, when really instead of being like, I'm in here because I killed my wife.
Right. Or I'm in here because of a huge miscarriage of justice. Right. Please do something.
This
There's
is
a
wrong.
Camera.
Like, he's
Listen
okay with it.
I'm innocent. I didn't kill her.
Yeah.
None of that's happening. He's like, look, what your life, he basically is trying to say some bullshit theory of like, you know, whether your life is heaven or hell, it's all in your mind.
And he's like at peace with it.
Yes, basically. He goes, I'm not saying I like jail, obviously, but like, but it's this thing where to me, it's what it is about Michael Peterson, which is to me what's fascinating about killers and psychopaths and all those people where they have to do it. They have to win. Mm-hmm. They can't not say that thing. So even if it's going to make them look even guiltier, that's his MO. That's
He's
his
letting you know.
Goal. He has to tell you.
You didn't get me.
Yes, I'm wearing this jail outfit. Yes, I'm in here. But no, I'm actually free.
Right.
So, you know,
or almost
bad.
This like he thinks of himself as this beautiful miscarriage of justice.
Yeah.
And this like.
He's a martyr. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, this isn't that your wife is dead.
Right. There's no talk of her.
Yeah.
Oy vey.
I know. But that American Justice was made in like 2004 or 5.
Uh-huh.
So they had no idea
that
this story continues for quite some time after.
Well, that's what's funny about this a novel idea episode of Forensic Files, which you can watch on YouTube, is that I think that they get so. Of course, it's before we find out all of these issues around it. And our friend Dirty Dwayne is in it, like being interviewed as the guy who solved the case.
Yes.
And so that's problematic. But I think really, if you ignore that, I think that that episode gets it correct. The whole thing is correct. It's just that the shit that happens afterwards is problematic. So it's so funny that this like dated Forensic Files without the, you know, fucking addendums and shit.
Yeah.
I think it's correct.
I do too. Yeah. I mean.
But it does it really well to show you exactly why he's guilty. And then so much shit comes out later.
That whole thing was like, what is real?
Ugh. Nothing.
I mean, blood spatter evidence experts are fraudulent to the core where it's not even a real thing.
Yeah, you can't even rely on them. Who can you rely on?
Whoever the other person is that's made up their specialty of like, no, I did this in my basement. Don't worry. I tested it out on myself. We had a great time. Here's the video. We laughed. We loved.
Well, shit, that's fucking Michael, the murder of Kathleen Peterson by Michael Peterson.
And in Steven's timeline that I was reading off of, he said that those French documentarians have another as yet to be released as of December 2017, but they have a third.
Yeah, they're working on a third documentary because he was released this year.
Yeah, he got, so he did an Alfred plea, which we know from the West Memphis Three, basically says that you know that the state has enough to convict you, but so you're agreeing that they have enough to convict you, but you didn't, you're still saying you're not guilty.
Yeah, you're not pleading guilty.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's out now.
Yeah, he had a time served situation.
Right. Which we don't need to get into.
All right, bye.
No. I just mean like he served 86 months, and so now he, and it's concurrent with the.
Yeah, all of the way he gets out and gets bonds and in between shit and all that, him going in and out of jail is like, imagine if that was a black man.
Oh, right.
How you would have never seen that person again.
Yeah.
That the way this keeps just getting entertained, because this does happen to other people when it's like, oh yeah, this, all of this has to get thrown out.
Yeah.
And they don't immediately throw up a bond and like, hey, let's get this person out of there.
Yeah. Hey, this blood spatter analyst has lied in 34 cases. Mm. I bet he's lied in these other ones as well. No, it doesn't turn around like that.
It doesn't at all.
No. I wonder what Christmas is like with fucking Michael Peterson. What do you think this Christmas is going to be like for everyone?
Well, so at the last, so the second addendum French documentary, The Staircase 2,
do
Electric Boogaloo, I have to say it every time. In that one, one of the daughters, I kind of like that we're not naming their names because I feel like they
let them live their lives.
And also just they're really kind of the subject of this documentary. Yeah. It's like it's so much pain for them.
Yeah.
It's been so horrible for them all the whole way. I almost want to go like, if you need to fight and believe that, please do that.
Yeah.
Because yes, because
it just sucks that their other sister is on the other side, you know, that they're
but
fighting.
In the part two, one of the sisters no longer is speaking out for Michael Peterson.
Okay. Well, the daughter, Caitlin, Kathleen's actual biological daughter, said that when she saw the autopsy, there's like this beautiful quote by her that's somewhere here. It says, the only thing I have to say is that about the trial and all the subsequent fallout is that if there was any closure to possibly come from all of this, it came after sitting through the entire trial and listening day after day to all the evidence on both sides. And after the closing arguments, when all was said and done, I felt confident that I knew what happened. I knew what happened to my mom. While there's no true closure that can ever come from an event like this for a loss this deep, I was ready to walk away and start moving forward with my life. And that's Caitlin, thinking that Michael Peterson killed her mother.
Right. Yeah.
So sad.
And not feeling caught up that her stepfather was also being persecuted. Or she just was kind of like,
I need to walk away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just awful.
It is. It's intense. I'm glad we did it together.
Yeah.
Should we say what we're happy about this week?
Go for it.
Should it be like something boring, or should it be like, thanks everyone?
Definitely boring. Try to do in a very flat voice.
Well, I was just thinking about how different both of our lives were before we started this podcast, or when we started this podcast, and when we kind of came together at that Halloween party and I lied about having watched The Staircase because it sounded right. And just how grateful I am by this podcast and the listeners and the community. And I mean, I was kind of in a rough, we think we were both kind of in different reasons and rough points of our lives and going through some of our own shit. And this podcast has changed that completely and made my life into this beautiful fucking thing that I'm so happy for and grateful for. And, you know, if all we ever do is 100 episodes, this is then one of the highlights of my life.
For real.
Like it feels like a dream.
It's so true. It's been insane. I love you very much.
I love you too, Karen.
And I love that you thought to do this and made me come to your house to do it.
I love that you said okay.
But it was one of those things where it was just like, in starting to do it, it was just like, oh yeah, this is like, even if it's just for us, it's so much fun.
That conversation we just had about the staircase, even when we were arguing about certain things, was so much fun. That's all I want to do.
I know, it's the best.
It's so much fun.
But also because, and sometimes it's been, I will say this, I totally agree. And that's part of the fun for me has been this experience of basically kind of standing in the center of an explosion with you and getting through it with you and truly growing with you. I feel
My God, completely.
But there have been times where, you know, when we started out, we said whatever the fuck we wanted because we were just in your house. And then, you know, of course, then we went through like a teenage phase where we got super self-conscious because people started going, you're saying this word wrong and you're doing that wrong and you have the wrong thoughts and you have the wrong ideas.
And we're like, you have to do this right.
Yes. And then we got real worried about what if we lose people or what if we, you know, and there's just all, it's like the natural growth process.
Yeah.
And now, so that conversation we just had felt so much more like one of the first episodes because of course in my mind I'm going, we can't say that, that's libel, that's whatever, we're putting words in someone's mouth, but overall that's the point of this podcast. And I said this at the Kansas City show, I believe, was we're not trying to be 48 hours.
Mm-mm.
We're sitting on the couch watching 48 hours, talking about 48 hours
to each other.
Yeah. And we've never wanted to be professional broadcasters or newscasters or anything. We just want to talk about the thing that freaks us out so much.
Right.
And fascinates us so much.
And we're sitting in this room, this loft, pod loft, surrounded by art made by these incredible people who we have somehow fucking touched in a way, and
because we have so much in common with them.
Right, and I'm honored and I'm amazed, and thank you Stephen too for being here, and it's just I feel really lucky.
It's we are two of the luckiest people.
I can't believe
for
it
for sure.
Yeah.
And and we're filled with ice cream cake.
Oh my God.
I mean, and for all you guys that have been, you know, one of my favorite things is it's sometimes when we meet people at shows, and they say, I've been listening since the beginning. And then I'll go, oh, you have since the first one? And they'll go, oh, well, no, I mean, like I came out in episode 5.
Yeah.
And on that, on the last time we were out, someone said that. And I go, from the beginning? And she goes, day one, I found you. Remember that girl that told us the story? She said, sorry, I don't remember your name, but she said, I was in a bad mood. I opened up my, iTunes podcast, saw the thing and was like, that seems interesting, and clicked on it.
Yeah. And she was like, at first I hated your voices. That's the other thing. She said, at first I thought you were both annoying or something, and then I kept listening and I loved it and I couldn't stop listening.
Yeah,
it is cool. And we read all of the notes and all of the messages on Twitter and all. I mean, it's just it doesn't make any sense. My mind is fucking blown. You guys have changed our lives. Thank you so fucking much.
We love it.
We love it. We love you. 100 episodes.
So fun. Thank you for being here with us.
Yeah,
we're very grateful.
Yeah.
And mostly, we want you to stay sexy.
And we also want you to don't get murdered.
Bye.
Elvis, want cookie?